computer. He's got to go to his dinosaur phone to pull it up. Rahmanas. I do want to say, especially for the chevra that was here in Baba Basra, I realized I gave a shiur on this over Shabbos. The whole basis for Yom HaTzmaut is grounded in.
Rishon b'nei Ayir.
How do you know that, Josh?
I mean, I don't know. Meaning it seems relevant.
Yeah, it's a true fact. If you look, everybody who talks about this idea of making a new Yom Tov or a new day of celebration, so it gets traced back to a tshuva of the Maharam Alashgar. Maharam Alashgar was one of the Goli Svarad. Like he was born in Spain in like the 1450s. Around then, he fled in 1492. He ended up in Italy and Greece and Cairo, and then later in his life, he made his way to Eretz Yisrael. But he was asked about a kahal that was they had some day that they were saved from. They were saved from Mitzara, and they were gozer a Yom Tov. They call it a Purim Sheni with all the dinim of Purim. You know, they have Mishloach Manos, Matanos Levyonim. It's not clear if this place had a minhag of halal, but in other tshuvas they talk about halal. But they said Kippurim l'chol dvarav. Yeah, that's the Frankfurt. So Chasam Sofer quotes this tshuva of the Maharam Alashgar. It all comes back to this tshuva of the Maharam Alashgar, and it gets passed into the Magen Avraham and the Elia Rabba in Or HaChaim. But the community wanted to know, could they bind their future generations to keep this holiday, even if people left town? So the Maharam Alashgar says, should I show you guys the tshuva? Are you interested? Like it's, want to
Please.
see. Okay, just give me 1 second. I'll show you. I'll just pull it out for 1 second, and then we're going to get back into Moda. It's unbelievable. I can't believe we didn't catch this last year when we were doing Rashan Bnei Lasi Al Kitzasan. So give me 1 second.
We already decided that the entirety of the Torah goes back to Rosh Hashanah B'nai Ayir, right? So Yom
So
HaTzmaut goes after.
it's you're saying it's Pashut that's this among them. Here, 1 second. Or I could even actually I'm not sure this is probably I'll just share my screen for this. It'll be easier to do it that way. Okay, so if you look here, blah blah blah. Should Maram Alashgar Simon Memtes? Guys see that? Makes a little bigger. Could see he says Shela Anche Achas. Why? Kedei lefarsim neis echad gadol shenasa lehem boso yom. V'chlal takanasam hiskinu shafilu misha yishan es mekomo v'yelich lishkan b'ir acheres lo yosar mi'alav choka takana hi ad olam. So the shayla was, could they buy in future generations? Yore hamorem yesh koach b'yad anshe yir l'takin kayotze b'zeh lo. Do they have the koach to make such a yom tov? And if they do have the koach, could they buy in future generations? And if they could they also buy in future generations even after they leave the town? Like, is the legislation by definition local or does it spread? Oh, so this should give us all nachas, at least from the Baba Basra Chevra. Ready? Tshuva, Vada, Yecholim b'nei Ha'ir, Letakin b'neihem takanos, V'lasos haskamos, U'gedarim, V'liknos, Over alein, V'afilu la'asiyah, Mimidas din Torah, K'detanya. Baba Basra Daf Ches, Rashon b'nei Ha'ir, L'hasnos, Alamidos, V'alasharim, V'aschar polim, U'la'asiyah al-kitzasan. And then he quotes our Tosefta in Bav Metzia. Rashan b'nei Yer lomar kol mi shiyir etzel ploni yenos en kach v'kach. Kol mi shiyir etzel ha-malchus yenos en kach v'kach. Kol mi shetira paraso etzel ha-zroim yenos en kach v'kach. The b'nei umanos could be masne about which days stores could be open, v'chule v'chule. No? That's the makor for making this chag. And you could see Maram Alashka goes further. V'davar muskom hu min ha-mefarshim mechvar kos v'rashba did tzibur kebezdin shel b'nei Iram. Every tzibur b'mkomo has a koach bezdin with respect to their own city. V'kol shekein b'nidon shelanu. V'ein b'hasa mimidas ten Torah. Adraba yesh b'pirsume nisa sheichol metaken el taken v'takonas vasikin hi. He says the Gemara gives this power to the Bnei Yair even when it's lehasia mimidas den Torah, to diverge from what the Torah commands. That's the dinim ominous cases. Halachas kam v'kama, when the takana is consistent with what the Torah commands, like lefarsem nisa. And you know, he cites this idea of a birchsaroa v'chule. So I just thought, as it's, you know, you have to kind of know both sigas to put them together, like the real conceptual basis for this koach to make a yom tov comes from Rashan ben Eir Lasi al Kitzason, which we were talking about, and then when we learned the sugya last year, is it a din and dine mamanis, just hefker bes and hefker? But he thinks it's pashut also in this koach to make a special yamim tovim. Okay, Zachar, you have a comment on this?
Yeah, I think that's a novel reading of the sugya. We had a discussion. It's actually very one of the more worthwhile grammar discussions in our shiur we've had. Where Rashi says, where it says,
where's Ned? Where's Ned? Where's Ned when you need him?
That's right. So where the Gemara says, La Sia al Kitzatzon, and Rashi says, Mem Dalad Tav
Midas. Midas in Torah. Or me, Midas.
Turn people even like away from what the Torah says? Or is it Midas in Torah? And this is a property of, this is a Doraisa property. Both of them are Mechudash, right? One is saying you could be mataking this for things that have nothing to do with other Torah principles, and the other one is saying you can be talking this with the force of the Doraisa. I think
the Ramalashkar is clearly saying in the Gemara it's even lasiam midas din Torah, take away from the Torah.
Correct.
Allah, yeah, Allah has come here when it's consistent with it.
Yeah, I just want to point that out.
Yeah. So good. Shkayach, Zacharya, Shkayach, Josh, for being mechavein to the conceptual basis for making Yom Tov. It all boils down to the koach b'nei Yair lasos, you know, kits, was lashon lasi al kitzason. I'll also just point out in the same tshuva, he says, v'lo oda afilu b'dvarim shalo kiblu aleim b'nei Yair batzkam, ala shenoagu kach me'atzman, lasos v'geder l'siag la'torah. Remember, we spoke about this also, that sometimes you don't need the formal legislation, the practice itself could be like legislation. That's all, everything's in this Maram Alashkar. Okay, so next time you celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut, you're really celebrating Babasu Davches. Just good to know. Romy, it's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was so excited when I was like preparing this on Friday.
Actually,
okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Also on a Bava Basra note, I was sitting with Rabbi Weider at Shal Shudas yesterday, and he was talking about...
Was he in YU for Shabbos?
Yeah. And he's talking about, you know, tuition and money, wealth in the community and stuff. And he's very adamant.
Man,
that,
does he not talk about anything else?
No, actually, somebody asked him about it, so it wasn't his fault. But he was very adamant that a person's top, you know, the first priority in a person's chiv stuck is to himself. And he's gone on about that. So that was
that was
a big fight.
Right.
Last year.
Did he hold that like it's a din stucka to yourself, like we said? Or
yeah.
He was just saying that you have to take care of yourself. Or you're saying
no,
it's a din stucka.
Like. That's what it sounded like, yeah.
Okay, very good. Very good. It's nice to be vindicated a year later. Yeah.
Sometimes things just need to marinate, you know.
They always need to. That's pshat MS Yore Darko. It takes time for the truth to show its way, but like, it sorts itself out in the long run. You know, it's like scientific experiments. It's always like, or statistical probabilities. You know, as the limit goes to infinity, that's when the coin toss, you know, hits its probability, its true probability curve. All right. Now, back to Earth, back to Hochus Moda. I'm sure next year we'll find out that some major premise of Judaism depends on the Sugya of Moda. So stay tuned for the follow-up next year. But you can see here, so we're going to start, we're going to chazer just the Sugya of Moda. We came across it, Derech Aga Ba'akifin, over the Zman. And so I just want to spend some time, probably a half hour, laying down the klalim of moda as they relate to our. So again, I think we're going to have a short chazar here tomorrow, if the oilam agrees, on bitul modos. Just wanted to separate the two pieces of it. So the Sugya Moda begins in Babasa Lamitasam Beis. Rav, the Gemara there lists a few dinim for which you need two people. So one is Macha. Macha there is referring to objecting to a squatter. You have to object to a squatter Bifnei Shnayim. And Ein Tzarich Lomar Ksovo, the Edim could write down that you objected without your permission because it's a zchus for you. That's the klal. Edim could write something down when you tell them something if it's a zchus, but not if it's a chuvah. And then we're told alongside here, you know, we have Hodah Bifnei Shnayim, an admission of liability has to be done in front of two people. Bitzarich Lomar Ksovo, of course, that's an adverse acknowledgement if you are moda to a chuv, so you have to give them permission to write it down. However, moda is bifnei shnayim ve'ein tzarich lomar ksovo. Now, what is moda? So we'll see. The Rashbam explains it's a case when somebody coerces you into some sort of transaction. You have the halachic right to be modia, to make this declaration in advance of the transaction that it's done under duress and that you are not consenting to it. That's the idea of moda. I just want to point out from the Rashbam, it's dafka kodem ksiva sashtar. Could be annulled after the fact. Okay, so what we know from this Gemara itself is this idea of moda, where you could, in advance of some transaction, make a formal declaration that it should be null and void because it's being done under duress. The Rashbam here just emphasizes that it has to be in advance, otherwise you would have a way of wiggling out of every transaction. Okay, now, we saw machlokas rishonim. What does the word moda mean? Most rishonim take moda to mean, Ramban quotes tudeos, most people take it to mean lehodia, to make known. What's the purpose of that? Just the person who's under duress is making known to a third party that, in fact, his position is that this is done under duress. He says, lashon yedias ha'edim. So it's giving notification that the transaction is under duress. However, the Ramban himself quotes a different daya, that the word moda here comes from the language of ones v'yisurin. The word moda itself denotes duress. He quotes two psukim. One of them seems to work in the Ramban's favor. One of them less obviously so. He quotes vayoda bahen es anche sukos. So in Shoftim Perek Ches, we're told about Vayikach Ezikne Ha'ir, V'yas Kotze HaMidbar V'es HaBar Kanim, V'yoda Bohem Es Anshe Sukos. So you can see here's a classic translation. He took the elders of the city and bringing desert thorns and briars, he punished the people of Sukkos. So V'yoda Bohem connotes some sort of oppression. The second pasuk the Ramban quotes to support this is less obvious. Hoda Es Yerushalayim. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel, ben adam hodas Yerushalayim es tovos es toavoseha. Pasha pshat in that pasuk means to inform Yerushalayim, but the Ramban seems to think it means to oppress or distress Yerushalayim. So I'll call upon him. You have 2 days in the Ramban. What does the word moda mean? Either it means to make known the ones, or it itself denotes a type of ones. Okay, nothing major hangs on that two interpretations of moda, but we're given two views about what the word means. Now, the first substantive point I want to make about moda is that you could view moda as just a formal obligation or a formal right to annul a transaction, in which case it has to conform to certain formalities. So, for example, here we have the Shidduch Betes quoting the Ravid in Bava Basra Daf Mem. Anybody remember what the Ravid here says? He says that the Edim that are specified in Bava Basra Daf Mem are not X, but they are Y. What is the, to put in a word? They're not Ede Birur, they're Ede Kiyam. Zel lashon arayvid. Amar Avram lechora hadar mina lu b'fnei shnayim. La mi pachad kfirahu, ela she'ein miskayim hamaisa ela b'shnayim. The reason why you need two witnesses to evidence a moda is not because you need evidence. It's not because of chashash that the other party will deny it or that somebody will claim it never happened, but because ein miskayim hamaisa ela b'shnayim. It's just constitutive of the concept of a modah that has to be done in front of two witnesses. This is like edekiyum for kedushin. You're making a formal declaration now in front of others, which gives it chashivus, that the thing that's about to happen is under duress. Okay? You could see here, nira kishar advar miskayim behodah shneim, ve'elu ein miskayim ela be'edim. A modah couldn't exist even if both parties acknowledged it. There's only a concept of modah if you have two witnesses evidencing it. That's the nature of what a modah is. Does anybody understand that conceptually? Okay. Now, I see that as being very parallel to a concept we saw in the Tashbeit Siman Aleph. You'll recall our long tshuva, the Tashbeit's about a get, a case of a get that, you know, maybe the claim was that the get was coerced under duress. And the husband was mevatel modos. But right before the get was given, he made some comment that, you know, he's giving the get under duress. And the Mesader Gittin said, don't say that it's under duress. Say you're doing it beretzon chachafshi. And he, all right, gets that and he knows him bekoach. You guys remember that discussion on the Tashbeitz? Ezra, do you remember that? Ezra's? Okay. So the Tashbeitz said that's not an issue. That's not really a modah. When the guy says, ani nosem bekoach ze aget, right before he delivers it, that's not a modah. And he explains, kivan shelo hayu dvarav le'edim kemoser modah alehem. Divin modah be'inan sheyimser dvarav el ha'edim. You need him to be giving the modah formally in proclamation over to them, saying, guys, I want you to know that I'm moser modah bifneichem, that the get that I'm going to give is shelo kedin, it's anus. It's not enough that you stated b'derech sicha ba'alma in conversation that you're giving the get under duress, which two edim happen to have overheard. Somebody see that? So there's this formal requirement of turning to two witnesses and saying, I'm moser modah to you about the invalidity of this get. If two witnesses happen to simply evidence the fact that you stated it was under duress, that's not a modah. Because a modah is like this formal, it's a legal mechanism that you could use to be mevatel the get. It's not just a way of having eidim be made that you thought it was under duress. Okay? It's an institution of law. Okay. You could see here, tzarech shetei mesiras modah kemoser dvarav el eidim, aval im amar dvarav la'acherim she'enam ruim le'edis, af al pi she'shamu acherim because you have to abide by that formal process. Okay. I see that as consistent with the Ravid's point that you require Edei Kiyum, not just Edei Birur, to know about your thoughts. Questions or comments on that? Everybody's on board for the analysis? Okay. Now, we're going to briefly discuss at least one exception that the Gemara has, or at least one discussion that the Gemara has of the scope of cases where you could use a modah. So require that you'll recall that there's machlokas between Rabba v'Rav Yosef on the one hand and Abaye v'Rava on the other hand about whether you could write a modah on somebody who is tzayis dina. Can you write a modah on somebody and claim that they're coercing you when they are generally compliant with Bate Din's orders, right? They're good citizens, they're citizens in good standing. So what's the debate about? So here we have two views on the Rishonim, the Rashbam and one Deya in the Ramban, the Yesh Omrim. So they explain that you cannot write a modah for someone who's Tzayis Dina, because that works against you. It's a piece of evidence against the guy who's claiming duress. Why is it a piece of evidence against the duress claimer? Why is it a strike against him? Let's go, guys. Come on, it's Chazara. Because if it was really under duress, why didn't you make an appeal to the Bezdin to intervene? And so the fact you have a legally compliant adversary, he normally listens to the courts. So if you felt that you were being abused, you have to say something to the court to get the court involved. Why didn't you try to appeal to them? So your failure to appeal to the court counts against you in your counts against you as evidence in your claim that you were coerced into this. Correct? However, if your adversary is lotsai isdina, he doesn't listen, he flouts the law, doesn't listen to the law anyway, then it doesn't count against you because we know why you didn't go to the courts, because the courts wouldn't have been of service anyway. Good? That's the view of Rabba v'Rav Yosef. What about Abaye v'Rava, who think that you have to, that you can write a moda even for someone who is compliant with the law? What's their view? Why is it not a piece of evidence against you that you didn't go to the courts?
Because there's always a court available.
Oh, courts take a long time to get involved. And so Zimnin to Ein Bezim Zimnin Miyad. So courts are not always available. So we could explain away why you just wanted relief through the process of Moda rather than through the judicial system directly. Okay, that's the first interpretation of the Machlokas. That's Rashbam's interpretation and the Yeshomrim in the Ramban. Right? Midilo Amrina Le Isa Danisas Tum Kum Ale Bedina. You should have gotten up and sued him. Now, the more interesting view that the Ramban himself quotes is that this is not a piece of evidence about whether you were telling the truth in claiming that you were coerced, but rather it's an internal limit in the definition of what it means to be under duress. Meaning, if you have a legal option available to you to quash the duress, which you failed to make use of, and you went ahead with the transaction, that is no longer considered duress. Because what does duress mean? It means you had no way out. You were forced into it. But if you could have gone to the courts and said, hey, get this guy off my back, I don't want to go through with this sale, then in what sense are you, and you didn't do that, then you're not genuinely under duress because you had a way out that you didn't employ. Somebody see that? So duress means you had no path open to you other than to go through with this transaction that was forced upon you. When you have the option of appealing to the courts for intervention, that's a way out. So if you voluntarily didn't take that avenue, you refuse that course of action, then you're considered to have voluntarily gone through with the transaction. Somebody see that? So here's the Ramban. He says, Kivan de lo kaibade bedina, amrule zila bedina. Since you didn't sue the guy in the court, you should have sued him. Havale kamande yachil ishtamute meosa ones. And you're like somebody who really could have avoided the duress. De lav ones who? That's not duress when you go through with it voluntarily by refusing to go to the courts. Now, Abaye and Rava disagree. And they hold that kivan she'ein bezdin yicholim lahatzilo elamachma shehut sayis ledina ve'ibayi lo tzayis onesu. It's a very interesting suggestion. What's the point? The point seems to be that it's still an open question whether court involvement would have been able to quash the duress. Because the courts would have only been able to be involved if the guy would have complied with them. So even with court involvement, it's not clear that appealing to the courts would have remedied the onus. But this is consistent with the Ramban's own analysis that Sayestina Lot Sayestina is about this objective question, whether you are considered to be under duress when you have this avenue of recourse to the courts open and available to you. Good? Okay. So that's the machlokas between the Ramban and the Rashbam, whether tzayis dina is an issue in evidence that you're under duress or in defining the facts of the case in view and you're actually being under duress. Okay. Now we turn to the question of what do the Edim have to know when you appeal to them in a moda? So there are two options, and the Gemara ends up distinguishing. One option is the Edim are merely like a notary. What's a notary? Yoni Drazen?
I think like people that just sign things officially.
Well, they don't sign things officially. They evidence your signature. So they don't take a view about the thing that you're signing being true or false. They're just there to say, yeah, we saw Yoni Drazen sign that document. So on one view, Moda could just serve as this type of like notary type act where the Edim are just testifying that the principal, the person told them that he was under duress. But they don't have to evidence the duress itself. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that, no, the Edim must know about the duress itself. That's what it means for there to be a Moda, that these two witnesses were made aware, they're able to testify about the duress that the actor was under. Everybody understand the distinction between those two points? Now that's, the Gemara itself distinguishes between two cases. It says, when it comes to Gittin and Matanos, the Edim are functioning as just notaries. It's a Gilei Milsa Ba'alma. They're just recording that the Baal told them that he's doing this under duress. However, when it comes to Mecher, a Zvini, a sale, there the Edim have to actually know that in fact there is Ones to which they can testify about. They can testify to the actual fact of duress in the case. So this is all back and forth in the Gemara here in Babatsu Daf Mem. Armina Hardai, Kol Moda Delok Sibe Ananya Dina Bebun to the Plani La Moda. A Moda has to state that the Edim know about the Ones. And the Gemara says that's not true for Gittin and Matana. There it's just Gili Milsa Ba'alma. But it is true for Azvini. If there's duress in Azvini, the Edim have to be Yadinan Ba'unsa the Planya, and they have to write that in the Moda itself. Okay. Now the question is, why is there a difference between Matana and Gittin on the one hand and Mecher on the other hand? Why does a Moda play a different role in these two areas of halacha? So the Rashbam explains, and this is picked up by the other Rishonim, that for Gittin and Matana, the Edim do not have to know the actual duress. And the reason is, Harbe b'nei Adam yuchlu leida onso. Tekivan de'ena mekabel mamon b'matana uveget, zeshen nosein, im isa denichale litana midaito. Lamalo limser moda. Ve'i lo nichale litain. Lamalo litain get umatana. Elavadai nenas beget umatana zu hilkach ein sarch lefarish onso. What's the general theory of the Rashbam? Why do you not need to know the facts of the duress? Go ahead, Josh Shapiro.
Because in cases where you're receiving something in return, we're not going to suspect that you're onus as much. But in cases where, let's say, you're giving, it's kind of like tlua v'yahiv tlua. In the case of Tluva Yahiv, when you're giving something and not receiving anything in return, well, we're going to suspect that you might actually be under duress more so than when you're receiving something, and everything seems okay.
Exactly. When there's no consideration for what you're going through with, then you have more credibility to claim that you are not doing this on your own free will. Right? It's everything you're doing is totally out of your own beneficence. That's the nature of a gift. So if you genuinely want to be beneficent, you'll give the gift. And if you don't want to be beneficent, you won't give it. So it's very plausible that when you say, hey, I don't want to give this gift, so I'm Musar Moda, there's no stratagem that you're trying to employ. So we have reason to credit your testimony that it's under duress. So therefore, all you have to do is Musar Moda to the to Edim, and Ein Tzarich Lafarish Onso, the Edim don't have to know anything about the actual facts of the duress. However, a sale is different. When it comes to a sale, you're getting payment in exchange. We know that people are oftentimes strapped for cash. So they're only selling this item because they need liquid capital to pay off a debt, whatever it is. And so it's advantageous to the seller to always have the option to void the transaction ex post facto. Because I'm getting the cash today. I'll use the cash for whatever I need, like tomorrow. And then I always have the option of buying back my property to keep the real property, etc. 6 months down the line when I pull out the moda and void the transaction. When I have cash, a cash infusion from, you know, somebody who owes me money, a Yerusha that's coming in, whatever the facts may be. So there's reason why a person would want to falsely be Moser Moda in a case of Mecher. Good. So that's the explanation. Okay, and that comes out of this Rashbam. Now you can see here's a summary of this in the Rambam. Perek Yud of Hilchos Mechira, Alacha Bezin Alacha Gimel, the Rambam writes, When it comes to something that you're not getting anything in exchange for, you have the right to be Moser Moda. You don't even have, there doesn't even have to be Ones corresponding to the Moda. It's your right to be Mevato the things, to be Mevato the deal in advance. Josh Shapiro, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, back to the Rashba, about where he's talking about whether or not you need to specify your Moda at all. He seemingly says that in a case where he says in some cases you don't even have to tell Edom, that we kind of presume that you are Ones, that you don't even have to be Moser Moda in some cases. We assume you're Ones if it's a case like Tulav Yahid, let's say, where you're not receiving anything in return. You don't even have to tell Edom post facto that, you know, like we assume that you're under duress.
Which case are you pointing us to? Which Rashbam?
No, the Rashba Chelek Dalad Simon Mem. I think this is the Tshuva to the Meiri.
The Rashba Chelek Dalad Simon Mem. We don't have it here on this Makoro sheet. You have the Lashon in front of you? Pull up the Lashon for us, Josh, and we'll...
I put it in the chat. You see.
Perpignan, Rumen Valea. Kol sheidana bonus shozev. Yapi shalom asr madash. Ein tzarich mesias mila yech deshakel zuzi. Nishum deshtan mila kol shekiv zuzi gamer ravid amachel avon zei. Ava tuluv yav lav klub. Meaning when we know that there's duress, you don't need a moda for mechar matana. Sorry, for matana, when we know there's duress, you don't need a moda. That's the argument of the Rashba, right?
Yeah, meaning no Edom, nobody has to know, basically.
Correct. We'll talk about that in a moment. That comes up in the Tshuva Tashbetz also. But that's saying that Ones itself is enough to be mevato.
It's a step further than the Gemara, where the Gemara says the debate is when do you tell the Edom. Here, it's you don't even have to tell Edom.
Right. Right. Good. So we're going to talk about that in a second. So far, is everybody clear on the Mecher Matana, the Mecher versus Matana and Gittin distinction? Any confusion about that? Okay. Now, I just want to point out something that we saw in the Shud Zichron Yehuda. This is the Tshuva of the So there's the tshuva. The Zichron Yehuda is a collection of tshuvas or Yehuda ben Arash, son of the Rush. But the first part of this tshuva is actually signed by this Reb Chastai, I forget if it was Chastai or Kreskes. I think it was Chastai or Reb Chastai. Let's see. I'll have to check the Chasima when we get to the bottom of the tshuva. But there's a chiddush on this point in the Shud Zichron Yehuda Simen Ayin Gimel. So everybody remember the case of Andio ben Agdin with Maras Esther Bas Nastira Karbida Digorina. This was the wife who stole the Svarim and the Klei Chemda of the husband, his astrolabe or whatever it was, that he, all those things that he loved, and she wouldn't give it back to him until he agreed to give her a get. Ikvu biyadon kol klei kesef kol klei v'chlei zav mabushin v'tachshitin v'chlei bayis v'chlei chochma v'svarim she'efgadati v'shalachti eslan. They're holding on to all my possessions. Right, and these svarim bekelim metalton yikarim be'enayim ma'od. V'chemat shelo yuchlu la'anos v'lochu fosi b'minu mini akviya gadol mizeh li'osi chasar me'em ma'od l'fi enyani v'rtzoni v'kosvi aleyem ma'od k'hem machmadai hatovim. So this guy really loved his stuff. Does this ring familiar? Now, if you'll recall, he said that he has no way of getting these metaltalim back in Beis Din. And that if the wife denies that she has them, he has no way of getting them back in Beis Din. And that's why the only way to get them back is through giving her a get. And that's why he was Moser Modah, that to get was just a ploy to receive his metaltalin, but it's not Beretzono HaChavshi. Now, the Zichron Yehuda in the tshuva here, he says, we have to figure out, we'll talk about his other chiddush, but he says, chiddush number one, which we'll talk about later on, is that here there's a payout, so it's like mecher, we'll get to that in a second. And when it's like mecher, you have to be mevarer the ones, the edim have to know that in fact there's duress. So the question is, what does it mean to know that in fact there's duress? What does it mean that dinan ba'onse de planya? So the Zichron Yehuda had a very striking standard where he said, lo mikriya dinan ba'onso kol she'ein bezden yicholen lamod al birur shel davar. It has to be that whatever the Edom are saying is enough that would win in a court of law to demonstrate that in fact there's onus. That's the standard. So he says over here, so the reason why this is very significant, it's a very high standard of evidence that he's demanding from the Edim to know in fact that there's onas. So like in this case, the Edim would have to know that the metaltalin in fact belonged to the husband, and that the wife is holding on to them, and that the wife is refusing to give them back to him unless he gives her a get. Otherwise, there's no evidence that that his only way to get these back is through giving her a get. That's the chiddush of this tshuva of the Zichron Yehuda. Okay. And here he has. It's fine. We don't have to go through all his formulations. But here again, he repeats that standard. They'd have to be yodim be'inyan ha'onas be'eze inyan heim yodim kedei sheyuchlu bezdin mitoch divreim lodun din emes la'mito. Enough to authenticate in a judicial hearing that in fact the facts of duress are true. Okay. So I just take that Zichron Yehuda as an important explication of the standard, a way of filling out the standard for what does it mean yadinan ba'onse de planya in cases of mecher where you require that. Any questions on that standard? Okay. So let's move now to the discussion of the distinction between mecher on the one hand and matana gitin on the other hand, and the central chiddush of the Rishonim, the tshuva of the Tashbetz, the tshuva of the Rashbash, and the tshuva of the Zichron Yehuda, at least in the portion paskin by the children of the Rush, sorry, at least in the portion Paskin by Reb Chasdai, that there are cases of, what's the Chiddush? What's the Chiddush of the this trinity of Rishonim? What was the mega move? Come on, guys.
The money, financial, if you get payment, then that's not considered onus.
That get, good, Romy, that get, a gittin could become a case of mecher if the husband is getting some consideration in exchange for the get. That if he's getting a payout, then suddenly gittin becomes like mecher, and we have a much higher standard for the kashrus of the moda and yidia of the ones. Correct? So let's see a few formulations here. So number one, I want to point out, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch here, I think this is the Raman, Simen Kuf Lamed Daled Sif Yud Ches, says, Ansu Ovdei Kochav L'Garesh, Imuchayev L'Garesh Menadin Pasul, V'af Bichem Psul Pasul Menakuna, V'im Lo Hayachayev L'Garesh Menadin, Afilu Reach HaGet, Eim Bov Lo Nifsla Menakuna. Somebody just, you know, get under duress of non-Jews. Then he says, Afilu Im Kibel Mos, Al Nasinas HaGet, Lo Amina Mishum Zenis Ratza. You know, getting a payment for the get doesn't make it ritsui automatically. And that's fine. The Beis Shmuel comments on here and says, Nishma, he cites the Rashbam that we saw in Bava Basra. This has its roots in the Israeli Rishonim. In Mekabel Maos, in Moser Moda, Amrinan Shema Lav Onesu. Ela hayom lemaos hu nitzrach, lachin hu megaresh, and therefore tzrichin ha'edim leida ones shelo. So, Romy, this is in a word, in a sentence, saying what you just stated, right? That when you're moser moda and gittin, even though the Gemara says that you don't need to, the edim don't need to know the ones, if the husband is receiving money in exchange, they do have to know the ones, because the logic of the Rashbam, that maybe he's just giving this, he just needs cash, and so he's giving the get to get cash, but then he's going to try to invalidate it afterwards, even when there's no genuine duress. That concern holds true. There's a reason to understand why he's giving the get whenever there's some consideration that he's getting in exchange for it. And therefore, we're skeptical of his claim of duress. Now, that argument, you could see here, gets picked up by all of these Rishonim. So that's the Tashbates, Chilek Aleph, Simon Aleph. I think he's probably the first to discuss this. So this was the case of the son who didn't want to divorce his wife, and then the father wasn't allowed to leave town, and the community pressured him to give a get. He even was Moser Moda, that Moriavi Machricheni, that the father was coercing him, etc., etc. But we were told that in this case there was a payout. Sheyitnu krovi ha'isha dalad meos dukati labala vigari shosa vishlishu asacha nizgar. So the husband agreed to give the get once they escrowed a certain amount of money and he got some of that payment. So we are told over here in the middle of the discussion of the Tashbates that this is a get sheyesh bo pidyon. This is a get with a payout. And whatever, it's a get with payout. Domi lizvini velo havia moda ad diyat inan la'onse. So a moda would not be good in a get with a payout until we are able to independently, or the edim of the moda are able to verify the facts of duress. And why was that important in the Tashbates' case? Because the Tashbates himself paskin that there was no duress. Because there was only kfiyas sa'av. Do you remember? So halachically, there was no duress. The only thing that could possible to get here is if he was moser moda. If you're moser moda and matana, it's enough that you say that there's duress. So it doesn't have to actually, in fact, be duress. But here, the Tashbates is able to invalidate the moda on the ground that if it doesn't genuinely correspond to an ones, wherever it's kizvini, the modah is no good. So you elevate the requirement of modah in gittin with a payout to being like modah nizvini, in which case there has to be a duress and yediyas ha'edim of the duress. In his case, he said, if there's no duress, lachas kam v'kama, there can't be yediyas ha'edim on it. V'kivan degit get kol hecha de'ika zuzi dami lezvini imkein batla modah me'eleha. So that was the chiddush of the Tashbetz. It then gets picked up by the Tshuva of the Rashbash and Simin Shin Lamed Tes. What happened here? If you recall, similar case, a son was married to a woman. The father was being penalized by the authorities because his son wasn't giving a get. The father got up and beat his son. Give your wife a get. The son was not Moser Moda in this case. Okay. And the Tshuva Rashbash Simen Lamentash, there was no moda. So the Rashbash analyzes the case and he says, he gets into the discussion of Josh was mentioning earlier, which is that this group, there's a whole group of Rishonim. Anybody remember the move here? So he starts off by introducing the distinction between Mecher and Matana. So let's see, Inyan Mecher, we require Yadinan Be'onse. Hanimili Delo Masar Moda, Vi Masar Moda, Zvine Lo Zvine. Moda Delo Ksiba Anan Yadina Deplani La Modahi. But in Matana, Imasar moda, afagav de lo yadina ba'onse, moda moda, de gilo idauta ba'almahu. And here's just the point. Vi yadinan ba'onse, afagav de lo masar moda. Josh is what you're recording from the Tshuva Rashba, right? Josh is giving us the thumbs up. So somebody else tell us what's the point here, what's the Rashbash telling us? That there's a corollary distinction between Mecher and Matana, not just about whether the Moda has to say Yadinan Ba'onse, but whether what? So somebody tell us.
Whether or not you actually know that there's onus.
Meaning what? That what happens if you know that there's duress, but there was no Moda?
Meaning you don't need a Moda. All Moda is there to do is establish that there is duress.
Exactly. Exactly. Meaning, the Chiddush is to say that when it comes to Matana, because the Moda has to supply knowledge of the duress, the move is to say that's all the Moda is doing in Matana. There's nothing special about the Moda itself. The formal legal procedure of being Moser Moda is not important. What's really important is that there's just evidence to establish that, in fact, there is duress here. Does everybody see that? So what they want to say, whenever it's matana-like, if we independently know that there's duress, we'll invalidate the matana without a moda. Okay, that's really important just to appreciate. Josh, that's what you were telling us in the Shit Rashba, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Now, if it's true that a get is like matana, then we would invalidate gittin wherever we know there's ones, even if there's no mesiras moda, which would be the case of the Rashbash. And you'll recall that in the Rashbash's case, the Rashbash himself wanted to say, was there duress or was there no duress? So 1 second. So if you look at the Rashbash's analysis, he says, L'inyan Gerushin. He said, I just told you the rules for Mecher. I just told you the rules for Matana. Leinyan Gerushin, he says it depends on the case. He says in a normal case, it's Dome to Matana. Therefore, Imasar Moda, Afagav de Loyadinan Baonse, Gita Lav Gita. And similarly, Iad Inan Baonse, Afagav de Lo Masar Moda, Gita Lav Gita. Meaning there are two ways to invalidate a get, either via a modah, i.e., even if we don't know about the ones, or if we know about the ones, even when there's no modah. Exactly like he said for matan. That's a classic case. But he said, but there are some cases where a get could be dome lemecher, i.e., cases where he receives compensation in exchange for giving the get. She'im masne lo mos legarsho masar moda velo ksiva v'anayim nedinim ba'onse la modahi. So whenever there's a payoff, you turn the divorce case, the get case, from matana into a mecher. Hilkach kishakel zuzi legaresh b'chasa moda ilo yadinan ba'onse lav klomu. Umina d'iyadinan ba'onse velo masar moda lav klomu. So what could he say based off that fact? So that's how he wants to paskin his case. How does he paskin his case, Romy? He says, I think that there's duress.
It's like a case of mecher there where you'd need to know about the where you need to know about the ones in addition to the moda.
Oh, meaning you need, it's not enough
to just have the moda.
So remember the Rashbash case, in the Rashbash's case, was there a moda? Was there a moda in the Rashbash? What?
Nope.
No moda, good. Was there ones? Objectively, was there ones according to the Rashbash's analysis?
Yeah.
He says, what?
Yes.
Good. Kifia Adios Hamigar says that ones gomorhu. Ela shalom masar moda. Okay. But there's a payout.
So the that case, right. Yeah.
So no moda, yes ones. What's the din? So he says, because there's a payout and it's dome lemecher, kol shenasal lamos havik mecher, therefore, you actually need a moda in order to invalidate that. And that's in fact how the Rashbash paskins. So there's a sense in which the Rashbash is making the exact same move for the Tashbates. What's the difference between the cases? And how they're paskining. How is the Tashbates using that psak? How is the Rashbash using that psak? Remember, in the Tashbates' case, there was a moda. Correct? So why was the Tashbates leaning on what did he require? What was the get with a payout being like a mecher doing for the Tashbates, and what was it doing for the Rashbash? Guys, this should be at the tip of your tongues. Someone? Kobe? What's the difference in the cases? Sorry, Romy, you want to help us out? How are they using this? Are they using the principle in the same way, or? So
I mean, these are different in terms of whether or not you know there's onus, but I don't know.
So I'll just say it this way. And they're just the Tashbates is talking about a case where he thinks there's no onus, but yes, moda. And he says, in a case of mecher, that's a bad modah, because you need yad inan ba'onse. The Rashbash is talking about a case where there is ones, but no modah, which in a matana would be invalid, which in matana the transaction would be invalidated, but in a mecher it wouldn't be. So they're both making the same conceptual move, but in different types of cases. The Tashbait says, yes, modah, no ones. In a mecher, that modah is no good. The Rashbash says, in a case where there's no modah, but yes, ones, in a mecher, the ones itself is not sufficient to be mevatel without a modah accompanying it. Okay, so in each case, how do you analyze it through the framework of kimatana? The get would have been kosher. But because you make the get kimecher, it's pasul. One case, according in the Tashbait's case, because a modah on its own is not sufficient to pasul a mecher, even though it would pasul a matana. And in the Rashbash's case, it's because ones on its own without a modah is not enough to pasul a mecher, even though it would be enough to pasul a matana. Good? Any questions on that? Okay, so the last tshuva here was from the Zichron Yehuda. The Zichron Yehuda spoke about a case where there was a super modah, but in his opinion, no yediyas ha'ones. So that's like the fact pattern of the Tashbates. We already saw that the Zichron Yehuda thought there was no yediyas ha'ones because there was no way to substantiate who owned the astrolabe and the svarim. Okay, so it's like the Tashbates' case. And here we have a machlokas that cuts right to the dialectic of this question. How does Zichron Yehuda paskin? So we have modah with no yediyas ha'ones. So he too, according in the part written by Rav Chasdai, he says, anytime you're mekabel mamon, that makes it like a mecher, and therefore you need birur ha'ones. So he says, once you bump this up to being like a mecher, hilkach benidon zed de kibel zuzi ein misiras modaso raya al onso kol shalonis bar ha'ones mimakom acher. Because we're skeptical whenever there's consideration that the modah may not be genuine. You need the edim to know about it. Okay? That's the portion authored by Rav Chasdai, Rav Yehuda, Rav Chasdai. Now, the children of the Rush disagree with the very premise upon which the arguments of the Tashbates, the Rashbash, and the Rav Chasdai, Rav Yehuda are based on. What's the premise that they're based on? Benji?
I'm not sure.
Who is sure? What's the whole chiddush of this section of the shir? Josh Biro?
No, we can determine duress whether or not it's explicitly stated or not.
No.
It's about that, most. Isn't he saying that that he doesn't think that Mos is determinative in the case of a get?
Oh, I mean, the chiddush of the Tashbates, Rashbash, and the Zichron, the first part of the Zichron Yehuda, is to say that even though the Gemara and Baba Basra Daf Mem distinguishes between Gitin and Matana on the one hand and Mecher on the other hand, grouping Matana with Mecher, that's an artificial distinction. And it's limited to cases where there's no payout for the get. But once there's a payout, the get becomes like a Mecher. That's the major Chiddush of these Rishonim. Josh Shapiro, correct? Yeah? Benji Katz, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so is that a good chiddush or a bad chiddush?
He rejects that here, no?
So the son of the Rush, the sons of the Rush, if you look at the Chasima of the Tshuva, you could see that Valzeh Chasam Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Yehuda Bnei Arash. Who's Rabbi Yaakov Ben Arash? He's the brother of Rabbi Yehuda. Balaturim, yeah, the author of the tour. Very good. So he says, this whole chiddush of the Tashbetz and the Rashbash is no good. Why? He says, Aval beget, afilu mitanu lo mos, even if there's a payout in a get, davar yadua she'eno sibas haget. She'im haya b'neim ava v'shalom, kemo she'roi lios ben ish le'ishto, afilu yitznu lo kol hon beso ba'ava, boz yavozu lahem. Elamachmas kitata she'b'neihem, osina she'sonoso koremes hanesuin, bahama'os enon ela tfeilin ledvarin hachirin hagormin leget, hilkach lo domi lema'os hamecher, deneimar gamar umakne. What's the argument here?
That we don't assume that money has like is considered effective, meaning it sways the guy in the case of a get.
Correct. Meaning when it comes to mecher,
doesn't become like a mecher.
Correct. In a normal case of mecher, what's different is that you're getting a payout in exchange. So we could understand that you are going through with this mecher because you want the most in return, and there's the stratagem, you're just trying to get the money, blah, blah, blah. Right? But there's a sense in which, even if you're kind of coerced, you're getting something in exchange for what you're giving. There's some reasonable exchange of value going on here. So that's a lot harder to claim duress on, because you're getting something of comparable worth or of equal worth in exchange for what you're giving up. So we're going to be much more skeptical to invalidate a mechira transaction. Now, in a get where there's a payout, it's true that you're getting something in exchange. But is it of comparable worth to the thing you're giving up? Does it move the needle on your genuine das legaresh? So the argument of the children of the Rush is no way, because there's no equal exchange in divorce for money. Even if you're to pay somebody millions of dollars, it's a davar yadua she'eino sibas haget. That's never going to be a basis for getting divorced. Because if there was genuine love and peace and affection between the couple, you could give them all the money in the world and that wouldn't break them. So the money thing is always external to the basis of gerushin, to the das legaresh. Whereas in mecher, the payout is one of the things that could generate or at least move the needles on the intention to divorce. Make sense, guys? So he thinks that the whole argument of the Tashbetz, the Rashbash, the Reb Chasda Reb Yehuda, it's no good, because the premise of that Shita, Tashbetz, Rashbash, v'chule, is that a payout for a Gittin is like a Mecher. And the children of the Rush just nip that in the bud and they say, no way. Because a payout in exchange for comparable worth is different than a payout for Gerushin. Make sense? Now, I think this might itself depend on, you know, like a very, just, I don't know. There are some people out there who will say there's always a price point for everything. Gosh, is that Brofman? Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, we talked about it last year.
Yeah, meaning what? Meaning?
I forgot where it came up, but we were talking about things like that had to do with Pshara and paying people, and there was this economist that we looked at that said everything has a price, right? So like we can pay the poor countries to take our It's just interesting if that's like the point that they're arguing about whether it's true that you can
hear something. Oh, I think that's exactly what they're arguing about. I mean, it's at least one plausible explanation. The Tashbates, the Rashbash, the Chazar Rabbi Yehuda, they're all saying, of course, money could sweeten the deal for Gerushin. Right? I mean, there's a price point for even Das Lagarish. And the children of the Rush are saying, no, that's apples and oranges. The only way money could be effective is if there's independent Das Lagarish, like there's Sinan, Ktata Benehem. But not that the payout itself could be a cause or a basis for wanting to get divorced. And so the huge nafkamina here is whether you think that a get with a payout could ever be Doma Lemecher Linyan Moda. Okay, so you could see that the children of the Rush paskin against the Reb Chazar Reb Yehuda. And they say, the moda was kedin. That's the part of the reason why they think it's kedin is because they disagree with this analogy to mecher. Now I think that the Avnei Nezer, this is the last mocker we'll see for today. I think the Avnei Nezer in Simon Kuf Samech Zayin agrees with the children of the Rush. He says, Kvodo Maisi b'shem Toras Gidin, Diviget lo mahani maos lahach lehechashev kimo toluyu v'zavin. That a payout can never make it like a mecher that toluyu v'zavin zvinei zvinei. Uveget e efshar lomar klal dahavi b'shovya, because you can never say, we'll only say toluyu v'zavin zvinei zvinei when it's the same, it's equal exchange. If it's pachas mishovya, it's like a gift. And if I force you to sell me your property for $10, that's not toluyu v'zavin because there's no equal exchange of value. Uveget efshar lomar klal dahavi b'shavyav kol hein hon beso yitain ba'ad ishto ve'ulai ishto chavav alav kigufo v'imkein eno no sein get avur hamamon rak machmos akfios. I think this point of the Avnei Nezer is exactly what the children of the Rush are getting at. It's an apples to orange exchange. So money, a pigeon for a gerushin, can never elevate a get transaction to being like mecher. And I just want to say that while the logic I find on its face, the logic of the Tashbates and the Reshbash is very appealing, it's very intuitive. It is a major upheaval of the language of the Gemara, because the Gemara says get and matana go together against mecher. And the Chiddush of the Tashbates and the Rashbash and the Reb Chazar Reb Yehuda say, well, that's lav dafka. That's just talking about a case where there's no monetary exchange for a get. The nice thing about the children of the Rush and the Avnei Nezer is that they get the dafka reading of the Gemara. But the Gemara is not just, oh, in a case where there's no payout, but the Gemara is saying, no, get by its very definite definition is like a matana, because even when there's a payout, it's an apples to orange exchange, so no equal exchange of value. So it'll always be grouped together with matana. But also at its core, you have this philosophical disagreement that Josh is highlighting about whether there's a price point for non-transactional types of relationships like marriages. Okay, that's the major summary of the Dinim of Moda for today. Did the Chevra find that somewhat helpful? Just to go to this Kseder. So what I want to do in our next Chazar Shir, which will be just pretty short, is I want to talk about Bittel Modos. The issue of the super modos and how are you mevatel a super moda. I want us to spend like a half hour or so chazering that. And then I think we should be in the clear to move on to Lishma as our last chazar sugya. When are Bechinos? Romy is going to start sending out Bechinos times for, you want to start this week, next week, Tuesday, Thursday, or you want to do the 9th and the 11th, the 7th, 9th, and 11th. Josh, we'll do something like this. Josh, do you want to start taking a Bechina this week?
Not. I just wanted to figure out how I should plan out, like, just my schedule. Just
Figure it's going to be like either on the days where like MYP Bechinas are. I think I'm going to do it over 3 days because there's a lot to do everything in one day. So you could, Romy's going to put out a schedule and then you could just book up a slot. All right, guys. So Tuesday, Chazar, sorry, Tuesday will definitely be in person. Either we'll do Lishma then and I'll do Monday short Zoom on Bittul Moda. Well, we'll just hold off on the Bittul Moda thing to beginning of Tuesday, and we'll do two Chazar Shiurim on Tuesday. Okay? Shkoyach, guys.
Thank you.
See you.
Thank you.
Great.